Elder Rick Olson.
Well, morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think Dan's comment that the spiritual things of Christ and the things that our God teaches us, it does reach into every aspect of our lives. And we have a tendency in our humanness to try to separate those things because it makes it easier for us. Usually it's because the natural man wants to justify going a separate way. Then the direction that God would send us, and that's so often apparent in many of the things that we do. So I hope I'm coming through loud enough and clear enough. Got a little bit of a cold. And so today I want to talk about tithing. And tithing is one of those things that falls into that category that we separate from our spiritual life. And it really has an impact on our spiritual life. And what we do in our tithing really tells us a lot about where we are spiritually. You know, we are to mortify the deeds of the flesh while we are on this earth and to bring into subject the desires of the body and to place it under the things of the Spirit. And so tithing, the money that we earn, is definitely part of that temporal life, part of the deeds of the flesh, part of those things that we need to mortify and to bring into subjection unto God's law and unto His Spirit. And we have a tendency to want to separate those things. So I'm going to kind of go back through some scriptures and kind of remind us about tithing, and so that we can kind of understand and bring that thought, keep that in the front of our minds. And the young men that are here and young women, this sounds like it's going to be a topic for just the older generation, but it's not. It's a topic for you young children as well. I know at this point in your lives, you depend upon your mothers and your fathers for all those temporal things that you need. But there's going to be times when you, as you grow and you get stronger and you begin to think about what you will do with your future, how will you spend your time? How will you earn your money? What will you do with your wealth? All these questions are things that you should be thinking about, and you will as you get older and you get into your teenage years, and that has impact upon your spiritual life of what you desire. And so this is an important topic for you, even though it seems that it's way off into the distance, that it's way off into the future, that it's something that you don't even need to think about. But before you know it, it'll be in front of you, and you will be making those decisions. And it's best to get your foot in the right step to start off properly before the Lord and to understand. And so I know this will be a little bit boring, but do try to pay attention. I'd like to start out of reading out of the book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 6th verse. It says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And so God is explaining to them that they have been in an error, and they have left one of His ordinances, or many of them, and God is calling them back. And they don't understand where. They don't understand where they have left that ordinance. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes, in offerings. So they did that very same thing that we so commonly do. They separated themselves and said, well, that's not part of serving God. I have my own will, and I will do what I want with the things that I earn, the things that I have, and what is it to God? And that's what they did. And yet God called them on it and asked them to return. And so it's a necessary thing that we keep that part of our lives in subject unto God, that we think on those things in matters of spirituality, of that we be obedient unto God, that we would desire to do what he wants us to do, that we would please him, and that we would bring that into subject in our bodies, in our minds, to serve God's purposes. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And so there's a promise with that. There's a promise from God that if we would be obedient and true to him and serve him, he will bless us. And so I'm preaching today. I'm not trying to preach a sermon of prosperity where I say, give your money to the church and you'll be blessed and wonderful things will happen in your life. Well, wonderful things will happen in your life. But as with everything that the Lord teaches us, if we do those things with a loving and a giving heart, if we do those things with an eye unto God, if we do those things with a purpose in mind to be subject to God and in obedience, then we have a promise. But if we do those things and not have a mind to God, if we do those things just for our own purposes, then God is not served. And so we know that to be true, and we know that to be true in all of the Word of God, and it is true even in this Word, that we should be in His service. And so we know that in doing so, we are not just trying to please ourselves, we are trying to please our God so that He may bless us. And so if we allow ourselves to think of that in a spiritual nature and not separate those monies, not separate the wealth, not separate what we purpose to do in this life from what God purposes for us to do in this life, then we can be blessed. And it says, and I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. And so even in these things that God blesses us, he gives us testimonies in our lives to know that these things are true. You know, he would not just say this and not stand by that word. And he would do things within our lives to strengthen our faith so that we would have a witness and we would have a testimony that what he said is true. And we have that, and we expect it in every aspect of our spiritual life. And so I'm going to give you a little testimony, and I'm not, no one knows what the future holds, but I give you this testimony to kind of hope that you young men and young women out there will listen and pay attention of how this can apply to you. So when I was 12 years old, or roughly, more or less, I had a newspaper out. And my Uncle Isaac convinced me that even though I was 12 years old, that as a member of the church, that I should follow the commandments and pay my tithing. So that was when I first started paying tithing. And at 12 years old, it was only a few dollars, I think. I remember paying $1.75 a month. I remember. And it's one of the things the newspaper route kind of teaches you. You know, you count your papers, you figure out how many you have to sell, how much you're going to make. And you're looking at that $1.75, it's a lot of money. It took a lot of effort. But I did it. And it's worked out well. I will testify to you that I have tried my best to always pay my tithing. Every now and then I'd slip a little bit, but for the most part, I have always tried to do that. And it's been well with me. I've done well. I'm not starving, and I'm not... I have a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and have my entire life, which is a blessing, and there's many that cannot say that. And I have no other choice but to say that it is because of the Lord. And so I'm happy to pay my tithing. He has been good to his promise. And so this can begin at a young age. It's not just for nations. It's not just for mom and dad. It's not just for those who are off in this world and supporting themselves all on their own. It's about taking that time to think about the Lord and give part of what you've done to him and committing yourself to him in everything that you do. And so you're never too young. If you're a baptized member of the Church of Christ, you're a member of the kingdom of God, and you're part of his kingdom on earth. And he gave this commandment to all his kingdom, all that would worship him. And so it's a good thing to start at a young age. So parents, I would encourage your children to think about this aspect of their life and teach them while they are young to mortify the deeds of the flesh, meaning the desires, that natural man that desires wealth, the comforts of life, that worries about all those things, to bring it into subjection and give it unto God. It can start early. And so we have this blessing. If we go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that this is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And so it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility of the priesthood to take tithes. It's a responsibility of us as ministry to teach and to do the things in the church that would lead people to salvation, that would lead people to Jesus Christ. And we're instructed to do this. It's a necessity that we do this. Abraham had to do it. He paid it to the king of Salem, to Melchizedek, who is like unto Jesus Christ, a high priest. So if it's something that God has put within his law that we must do, even so much that we must pay it to a high priest, and it is a commandment that a high priest must also take it, then it must also be done in Christ's church. For Christ is the last high priest. And it must be done. And so we don't have that opportunity. There's nowhere in our lives or in anything that God has taught us to say, this piece of your life you can separate from me and go on and do your own will and serve your own purposes. He has not done that. He has given us reason to subject every part of our life and every purpose that we would serve unto his will. And this is a common thing for a man to want to separate our own ingenuity, our own industry, how we earn our money, the things that are given to us, everything that we have in our hands that we want to call our own, to separate it and say, oh no, this is mine. To do exactly what I will, for what I want, for my purpose. And God says, no, wait a minute, I have need of this, and I need something from you. And after all, it is God who blesses us and gives us what we have in our mouths, on our backs, the roofs over our heads. God has given us all of those things and made it possible for us to have them. And he only asks for a small part back, that we remember where they came from, that we remember that he is our God, and that we are willing to be subject unto him and not do all things in our own power according to our own will. And so there is much in the Bible that deals with how we spend money, what wealth is, how we are corrupted by it, how it can corrupt us, how others commit sin in order to build up wealth and lie and cheat and all of these things that are part of that natural man that we are to bring into subjection. And so if we want our children to always look to God in everything and see God in every part of their life, then this is a principle that should be taught to them early on. So when they grow up and they begin to think about what they will do with their life, they will have in their mind to serve God and his purposes in those things. You know, we don't want our children to desire wealth to the point that they would say, well, I'm going to be some profession. That would be opposed to the teachings of God because it has the potential to make a lot of money. And that's a principle that's been, that's hard for people to learn. And people today, they want to say, well, that's your work life and that's not your spiritual life. You can separate those two and just go along and serve your own purposes and yet still serve God's purpose. But it can't be done. It can't be done. And this is evidence here that God doesn't want us to do that. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel on how they might entangle him in his talk. And this is the Pharisees approaching Jesus Christ, and they're trying to trip him up. And their purpose is to trip him up so they can say that he's treasonous. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And so they were, knowing that Christ was a Jew, they were trying to trip him up to get him to say that it's not lawful to give money unto Caesar. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Who is this image and subscription? And they say unto him, Caesar. And saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And so we are to do that in our lives. We are subject to many things, and we must pay our taxes. It's a pretty easy, common thing to know that, you know, you have a job, you earn a wage, you pay your taxes. And you have to pay the government. And it takes care of all those things, infrastructure and all those things that we take advantage of and that makes our lives easy. And so we pay our taxes in order that that would be done. But Christ says to render unto God the things that are God's. And there is in that thought, how you look at that is what happens today. Do we think that the money that we earn and the wealth that we have is God's? And that we should render unto God what is His? Or do we think that it is only for this life, those things, and that it is completely separate? Because that was the question that they were asking him and trying to trip him up. And he tells us to render unto God what is God's. And so in doing so and in paying our tithing, we sanctify the efforts that we make in this world. Because that job that you have, that time that you spent earning a living, is a blessing of God. And so we sanctify that effort when we give it unto God. And we freely give to him his portion so that he might freely give to us the blessing. And so if we understand that that comes because of a spiritual desire to be obedient unto the Lord, then I'm not preaching a gospel of prosperity. I'm preaching a gospel of spirituality, of service unto God. Living in a purpose meant to be desired, a purposeful life in the service of God and in a desire to please Him. Third Nephi, chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. We've read this, but I'm going to read a little bit more. it was important enough that the scripture was given in both our books, in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. You know, there's only a few scriptures, some of the words of Isaiah, the Sermon on the Mount, this particular passage, that were so important that the Lord made sure that we had witness of it in both of our books. And so beginning in verse 9, this is, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the heavens or the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? And ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what doeth it profit that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have kept or have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, them that tempt God are excuse me, that tempt God are even delivered." So why tempt God? Why tempt God? Should we? Should we tempt God? Should we take the blessings that he gives us and praise his name for it, thank him for it, and then turn and go the other way? And we know that this is not right. We know that we should not tempt God. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. "Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, with moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light." And so we are instructed to lay our treasure up in heavenly things. Lay our treasure up into those things that are promised to us in the life as we pass from this life into the next. And not lay our treasure up in this life. You know, when we die, we know we can't take anything of this world with us, and that the only thing that we can take with us are the things, spiritual things, that God has promised us. And it says here in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye, and if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And so that eye is your mind. You know, it's not talking about just what we see and what we look at, but it's about what our mind directs our eye to see and to look at and to seek after and to do. And so it's talking about our mind. And if our mind is single unto God, then our whole body is single unto God. But if our mind is of a nature that we desire only the things of this world, then our mind is not unto God. And so we must bring into subjection those things in this world that we might have a mind wholly looking to God. And that means to do that with every part of our life. But if thine eye, in verse 23, but if thine eye being evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Can man serve two masters? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is that pursuit of wealth. Mammon is that pursuit of pleasures in this life, those creature comforts that we desire. You know, we cannot serve both. But yet we have need. We have need for a job. We have need to supply things for our families. We have need for all of these things. And God knows we have a need for all those things. And so we have this constant struggle within us. That constant struggle to do the things that we need, but not let it overtake us. Not let it overtake our lives to the point that we serve it rather than God. And when we give part of that life, when we give part of that life unto God, we sanctify it, we bring it into subjection, dedicating it to God. And so when I go to work every day, get up in the morning, get in the car, drive downtown to Hallmark, and what do? I make somebody else rich. That's what I'm doing. The Halls are very rich because of what I've done. I get my small portion of it, but they get a really good payback. And I'm making somebody else rich. So who am I serving? Am I serving God? Or am I serving the Hall brothers in my life? What is the purpose of my life? Is it to spread the gospel? Or is it to make money for the Hall brothers? So there it is. There's that struggle that we have in our lives. But if I take that money that I earn, that God has blessed me with, because he has given me the skills, he has given me the opportunity to earn it, if I take it and sanctify it, take portion of it and give it unto God, then it has served his purpose in my life. And I have brought that part of my life into a spiritual subjection and mortified it and done right before God. And that's simply what it is. Because no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other. In many lives, you know, it doesn't take much to kind of take a person and kind of flip them over to that edge where they're all about their job, they're all about making the money, they're all about doing everything to provide for their family, which doesn't sound like a bad thing, but if they've left God out of it, then they're on the wrong side. So God has blessed us by giving us a commandment requiring us to pay tithing, requiring us to give part of it to him, requiring us to have that spiritual mindset that is going to make it easier for us to be focused upon him, that is going to keep our hearts and minds in the right place, that we don't get sucked up into that passion, that pursuit of wealth for the material things in this world. He has seen to it because we need it. Because I know that God doesn't need my little 10%. He can do anything he wants. The success of this church does not depend on me paying my 10%. It doesn't. Because I understand the power of God. But his success in converting my soul is dependent on me doing that. Think about it. So many times as a bishop, I hear people say that, well, God doesn't need my 10%. Yeah, he does, because he needs your soul. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is life not more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil, not neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grasses of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what he's trying to tell us is today, you have clothes in your back, you have food in your mouth, you have a roof over your head. Why worry? God is in control. He has given you all these things. He knows that you need them. Has he not provided them? And yes, he has. So if we seek after those things that we seek after only those things in this life, and we serve mammon rather than God, we separate ourselves from God. You know, when Adam and Eve fell, and they were driven from the Garden of Eden, and the earth was cursed. The earth was cursed so that man would have to toil to raise the fruits thereof. For our sakes. It was for our sakes that we would be pulled and drawn back unto God, that he might reclaim us. And so we must work, we must toil, we must do those things to sustain ourselves in this life. It is God's purpose that those things be done, that he will be able to reclaim us. And in so doing, and giving back unto God what he desires, and being obedient, is part of it, that he may reclaim us. So he says, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's not telling us that all we have to do is exist and that things will just come to us. But it is telling us that if we have what we need, then things are good. God has taken care of us. So if our desire is unto God, it is good. And that all those other things that would cause us to seek after those things that would cause evil, harm to us, leave them. And don't serve them. In Helaman chapter 4, verse 48, Helaman 4, 48, "And thus we can behold how false and the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. Yea, and we may see that at any time when the depth of despair, we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks, and their herds, and in their gold, and in their silver, in all manner of precious things of every kind and art. Yea, and woe unto the city of Gideon for the wickedness and the abominations which are in her." Oh, that's verse 5. Sorry, I skipped down to the next verse. And so God can give us all these things, and what this is he blessed these people. He gave them all that they had. But we can see that if we concentrate on those things that are the blessings and desire to have those material things, more than God, that we can see how false, and it says here in verse, the beginning of the verse, "And thus we can behold how false and also unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness does bless and prosper those who put their trust in him." And so we need to steady our hearts. We need to keep our mind focused upon serving God. In chapter 5, verse 20, "Yea, and woe be unto the city Gideon for the wickedness and the abominations which are in her." This is in Helaman. "Yea, and woe be unto the cities which are in the land about, which are possessed by the Nephites because of the wickedness and the abominations which are in them. And behold, a curse shall come upon the land, saith the Lord of hosts, because of the people's sake who are upon the land, yea, because of their wickedness and their abominations. And it shall come to pass, saith the Lord of hosts, yea, our great and true God, that whosoever shall hide up treasure in the earth shall find them again no more, because of the great curse of the land, save he be a righteous man, and shall hide it up unto the Lord. For I will, saith the Lord, that they shall hide up their treasures unto me. And cursed be who hide not their treasures unto me. For none hideth up their treasure unto me, save it be the righteous. And he that hideth not up his treasure unto me, curseth is he, and also the treasure, and none shall redeem it because of the curse of the land. And so, if we hide our treasure up unto God, we'll be blessed for it. And if the evil, those that are unrighteous, hide up not their treasure unto God, they will be cursed for it. And so when I read that, what happens in my mind is I've taken upon me the name of Jesus Christ. And I have said that I believe in the one true God. And he has blessed me. And I gave you my testimony earlier of paying my tithing. And so I've kind of put myself in a precarious situation in a way. that human side of me starts to think. And he says, well, you know, I think I'm going to start keeping all my money. I'm 59 years old. I've worked a long time. I've paid tithing all these years. I think I've paid enough. And I'm just talking hypothetically here. I've paid enough. I want a little bit more for my older years. So I think I'm going to quit giving that to God. I'm going to quit hiding my treasure up unto God. What do you think is going to happen? If I do that, I honestly believe that I've really kind of given the Lord no choice of what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to withdraw his blessings. Because he's going to say, well, I need to bring this guy back around. I got to change his thinking. I got to change his understanding so that he will know what I have said is true and that others will know it as well. And what I just read tells me that if I want to lose all that I have or all that I claim to have, or if I want to lose all that the Lord has given me, all I have to do is keep it for myself. And God will have no choice. See, I don't believe that God gives us the things in this world to destroy us. I don't believe that. He gives each and every one of us what we are able to bear. And we might think that it would be wonderful to have millions of dollars and to have an easy life. But if you really stop and think about it, what would your life be if all of a sudden you were a billionaire? What would you do? There would be nothing denied. You could just go off and just have all the fun you wanted. There would be all kinds of temptations that would open up to you in the world. Having the money wouldn't necessarily be the sin. But if it leads you to commit sin, it would certainly destroy you. And that wouldn't serve God's purpose. And so, at the same time, we can say that if a person is really, truly poor, they could become discouraged. And that's true too. And so there's a balance there that I think our Heavenly Father takes care of in our lives. That he gives us what he needs. And so I start to think about the scripture that we read about the grasses and the birds having what they need. Where if he treated the birds like the grass, the birds wouldn't live. And he treated the grass like the birds, the grass wouldn't live. And I think that's much how we are. That God gives us those things that are in our lives, gives us the blessings that we need, but he also is not going to give us the things that would destroy us. But we have a responsibility with those things to do what he would ask us to do so that he can bless us more abundantly. And so I believe that's what this is about. In verse 26, and the day shall come that they shall hide up their treasure because they have set their hearts upon riches. And because they have set their hearts upon their riches and will hide up their treasure when they shall flee before their enemies because they will not hide them up unto me, cursed be they, and also their treasure. And in that day shall they be smitten, saith the Lord. Behold, yea, the people of this great city, and hearken unto my words, yea, hearken unto the words which the Lord hath said. For behold, he saith that ye are cursed with a curse, that ye are cursed because of your riches. And also are your riches cursed because ye have set your hearts upon them, and have not hearkened unto the words of him who gave them unto you. Do ye not remember the Lord your God in the things which he hath blessed you? But ye do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them. Yea, your hearts are not drawn out unto the Lord, But they do swell with great pride, unto boasting and unto great swelling, envyings, strifes, malice, persecutions, murders, and all manner of iniquity. For this cause hath the Lord caused that a curse should come upon the land, and also upon your riches, and this because of your iniquities. And so what I hope to do today was put you in a mindset that you would understand that that we would all understand that there's no part of our life that can be separated from God, that all that he has done for us, all that he has given, that we subject ourselves in it unto God, and that he requires obedience in all those things. And that the natural man has a tendency to want to separate parts of our lives and pull it away from God, that we would have control over it. But in reality, it is God that controls all those things. Well, that's really the point of what I've wanted to bring today, to give you something to think about. Parents and children, something to think about as you go forward in your spiritual life. Not just to think about how often you attend church, or do you pray enough? Are you kind enough? Are you long-suffering enough? But also, do you give back to God what he requires in terms of obedience? And not to leave this part of your life undone, because that is my job as an elder in the Church of Christ. As it has said, as a bishop, it's my responsibility that you have given me, and it is a commandment that God has given me as a minister to see to those things. And we have a tendency to go along and concentrate on some of these other spiritual things and kind of leave this one go off to the side because it's uncomfortable. Because we don't want to be accused of preaching a gospel of prosperity. But I hope that in thinking about it, you think that it is a necessary thing. That if we are to prosper spiritually and give ourselves wholly unto God in everything that we do. Thank you for your time.